This week on RSPB Update, we bring you up to speed on the login lockout. Mods Pips and Warden reassure while ID0 and ZZ take care of the locked out accounts. Meanwhile, we dive into Davendale, the newest tutorial, and revisit the Brooch of the Gods. This is RSPB Update, episode 820, recorded Thursday, March 11th, 2021. Compassionate Scapers. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. It's just Tanis and myself this week here. We just finished a fun monthly bit with Parnassius about skilling bosses.
Yeah, that was another good one.
I was largely producing this thing, and I was thinking, is this gonna be one that's gonna jump out or not? Maybe yes, no, maybe so. I don't know. And I think it turned out pretty well. You enjoyed yourself. Parnassius enjoyed himself. Hopefully, our listeners will enjoy hearing this when it goes to press, along with this episode. Of course, if you have any interest in that, that's on Patreon at patreon.com/rsbnb for as little as a buck a month. You can gain access to that one and everything else. But we'll talk more about Patreon after. And, you know, we were going to have a bit of a chat last week about the ongoing server issues, but we didn't really feel like we had enough information to do that. So as a result, we decided to push that forward to this week. And oh boy, is it a good idea that we decided to do that.
I think we got a little bit more information.
Yeah. And it's completely changed what we were going to be talking about this week, so we're going to get right into that. And, you know, I'll just, of course, say that if you want to ever consider guesting on this podcast, or you want to write for us at Informer, or maybe you just think you might have some other skill set that might be useful to us, just visit our Help Wanted form at update.rsbnb.com/help. And, you know, with that, you can fill that out. And if you ever wanted to guest on a podcast, or if you want to write articles for us, or, you know, maybe you want to do some graphics work, just fill out this form and we'll get into contact with you very shortly. update.rsbnb.com/help. But nonetheless, I am Shane12088 and your Tan is 79 in game. And, you know, this week has been, I'm trying to remember if there's ever been another week like this in RuneScape history, honestly. And I don't think there has. With a live stream like this, an update being postponed indefinitely, and just a technical issue that's affecting what amounts to a small number of players, but is in itself a really damn big deal.
Yeah, I think we all saw just how much of a big deal. Even knowing that the situation wasn't good last week, not knowing the full scale of it. I think we all do now.
Yeah. So, of course, what we're talking about is the server login issues that has been described at the very high level on this. And what's happening with this is that most of the accounts are fine. 99% of RuneScape accounts remain unaffected, but there is a small number of people that amounts to about 1% who cannot log in. And with this, they can say that all accounts are safe and all character progress before February 8th is intact, but there are some data gaps for the 1% between February 8th and March 4th. And that's, of course, when this issue started to manifest itself in full. And we're going to go into the live stream, of course, but to just kind of take a bit off the top here and talk about exactly what the issue is. From the sounds of it, and they didn't say what the exact issue was hardware-related, it sounds like there's a hardware technical problem with one of the servers that caused this. They identified it, fixed it, so going forward there will be no problems. And I think this is when we can quote your friend Mod ZZ, who we'll talk about on the live stream. What did you say he said? He said we fixed it and we crushed it or something to that effect?
Yeah, he was like, in the short term, we fixed it. In the long term, we crushed it. I was like, right on.
That's what we'd like to hear.
That's what we like to hear.
And you're probably his biggest fan from what you say, because you said this is the kind of person you'd want if you were, you know, going after the Cambridge mob or hacking a bank or something like that, right?
Oh, this is the guy that's in the truck, you know? I mean, he's watching the cameras. He's getting you – he's leading you through the casino, you know, in Ocean's 49, and you're doing the heist, man. I mean, yeah. Like, for sure.
Yeah, and what they're going to wind up doing with this to fill in the gaps in the data is using their telemetry data to fill in between. So whenever you get a drop, whenever you sell something, whenever you complete a quest, whenever you pick up an item, there's telemetry that's sent to Jagex and it's stored. And with that, they can begin to rebuild some of the game saves that were impacted on this. And this has been an all-hands-on-deck approach. It is what has caused this week's game update to be postponed until they can mention more on this. And as of today, Thursday, March 11th, they did have another update today. And they've been updating each and every day on this, which I think is impeccable that they need to keep everybody in the loop on this because, you know, everybody loves their RuneScape character, and they love their account, and if anything were to happen to that, that's a pretty damn big deal for some people who have, you know, 2 decades plus on these accounts. So
yeah.
The level of care that's being associated with this is wonderful. I'm not sure if I should say what I'm going to say, but this kind of reminds me of something from real life.
Uh-oh.
It kind of reminds me of the kind of care that the folks at the funeral home give to you and a family who's suffering.
Okay, that's not so bad.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Well, Shane, you know, I never know where you're going sometimes.
Right. And, you know, to say that's a good thing. And the accounts aren't dead. We need to say that. And that's right, why I was unsure if I should say that.
But it's actually a good analogy, because in many ways, when it comes to an online MMO, even though this was a very small group of people, like they've said, it's the worst case scenario. Like losing your data, like that's the worst thing that could happen, right?
And yeah,
in this kind of a game, so you're treating it the same as what that would be like in real life, where you would lose. I mean, you lost someone.
Yeah. And the update as of today on March 11th was that within the next 24 hours, they'll be taking the first steps into the restoration phase as they test a few impacted accounts that have been restored with the telemetry merging solution with an internal test. And no accounts in the live game will be unlocked or returned in any way, but it's an important milestone on the road to getting everybody playing again. And then we have the update from March 12th, which was in video form directly from Mod Warden himself, in which he talks about the effort as they close out the week and entering the next milestone, which he's calling the account restoration phase, and this is a process that's going to have 2 parts, including an account integrity review and the full restoration. They're doing it in 2 waves. The first wave is testing with the personal accounts of some JMods that were impacted, which is interesting when you think about it, that JMods were impacted by this, so they're playing the game just like all of us are. And he says that the QA team will be checking these accounts on internal test worlds and identifying problematic areas that need further refinement. They expect this to take most of the weekend. And then moving into next week with this, that process will move to the player accounts and will involve the most important testers, the players who were affected. Now, this account integrity review will begin with a beta test world where select players who were impacted will be invited to give feedback on their post-account restoration. And they say they would love to give everyone the opportunity, but this is only open to the accounts that they've identified as being the most helpful for critical feedback. From this, they'll assess the quality of their own account and help improve the process and define the next steps for the full restoration. And he also importantly notes that those who take part will not receive any special benefits for doing so, and all affected players will be provided with a clear way to reach out to the support teams if anything is amiss after the restoration phase. And he closes this phase off by saying that the team has been hard at work on so many levels to make these tests possible, and we're hopeful that the end result will allow us to return your accounts as accurately as they possibly can. They hope that this phase will begin later next week, but this weekend's work will help narrow down that timeline for certain. And for those unaffected, there's a bit of news about when game update resumes. There will be no game update next week, as the number one priority is still resolving the lockout issues. And he notes that all of us who have not been affected have been incredibly patient, and they are continually grateful for that. And as the phase moves on, the technical resource needs will reduce, allowing the team to get back to the planned content schedule without disrupting the restoration work. So if everything goes smoothly with the account integrity review, they expect regular game updates to return starting March 22nd. And that, of course, depends on that if everything goes smoothly. With this, there's a bit of a preview of what's going to be on the docket when things arrive. This, of course, includes things such as the Rex Matriarchs, followed by the Easter event and the eagerly awaited Pymas combat fixes. And there's also going to, of course, be work on addressing the Elite Dungeons exploit. And Yak Track and Vic the Traitor will be extended to ensure that those who missed out won't miss out any further on that. So that effectively means Yak Track will stick around a bit more and Vic the Traitor will come back. So with that, that was the update for Friday, and I think this is a pretty good update going forward. Progress is definitely being made, and that transparency level that we've come to expect through this has been just maintained and smashed. So hopefully, fingers crossed, everything will be returning to normal as we move on into the next week.
That's good.
Now,
I mean, it's progress. I would think too that something. I bet they offer the players affected something in the.
Oh yeah, that was actually talked about on the live stream, which we'll pivot to right now. But yeah, they said that, you know, they're completely aware of everything when it comes to downtime that players experience, the Vic the Traitor time that people lost, the Yak Track time that people lost. All of that will be considered on that. So. They just want to get through this first, and then they'll look into that kind of compensation. And, you know, it's good to address that forward on that.
Yeah.
The live stream this week featured messages from Mod Warden and Mod Pips. Of course, Warden is the executive producer. Mod Pips is the Jagex CEO. And then they, after that, introduced Mod ID Zero, who is the senior vice president of technology that, in effect, as he said, his job is to manage all of the hardware that keeps the game and company running. And Mod ZZ is senior director of analytics, data science, and engineering, which, when it comes down to it at the end of the day, is in charge of storing all the data that RuneScape generates and builds over time. And we're going to have a listen to what some of these messages were. First, we're going to hear from Mod Pips, then we're going to hear from Mod Warden.
Thank you. Hey, everyone. As Jagex CEO, I'm responsible for the whole company, and that's why I wanted you to hear from me about this login lockout situation. The last few days, a subset of our players haven't been able to log into the game. Not being able to play for several days is obviously frustrating. There's going to be some people where they might be anxious. When can I get back in? How much are they missing out on before that happens? You know, fortunately, it is, you know, the vast majority of players are unaffected. But regardless of how many players have been impacted, mm-hmm. we know it's imperative to get you back in game as swiftly and as smoothly as possible. Everyone at Jagex is taking this incredibly seriously. We're doing our utmost to get you back in and enjoying the game. And look, we know that running a persistent online game means your access to the world of RuneScape is our core duty to you. This has been caused by a technical problem on our side. It's the first time in 20 years we've had an issue we couldn't recover from in a few hours. The underlying issue has been addressed, and our focus now is on getting those affected back into game as soon as possible. That means teams from across JAGX, from our network operations teams, game engine team, community, game development, customer service, and many more have been working on this relentlessly, like really around the clock to resolve this. I can confirm it really is the company's number one priority to get you back in so you can continue your journey in RuneScape. We will get you playing if it takes a few more days. We know you'll have lost time in game. We intend to make good on this, but our first and exclusive focus is on getting you back in. We really appreciate your patience, and in this live stream, our team will give you a bit more info on what's happened, what we're doing about it. But look, we appreciate your patience and support on this, and we'll get you back in soon.
Yeah, thanks, Modpips. I think that's...
There we have it, Modpips. And, you know, this, for all intents and purposes, sums up what the entirety of the live stream brought forward as the goal of the message. Of course, the folks who came on board a few minutes after this went into more detail, lots more detail on everything around this. And, you know, I think he underscores a very key point there, that this is the first time in 20 years that they weren't able to recover within a few hours of this. So it's a damn big deal. And, you know, to tread through this while everybody's working from home and everybody has an increased demand on the game as well is a testament that, you know, you really have to put out there for operating, I think. And I think this is the best way to put it. They're operating this week on the stance of the player and community comes first.
Yeah, when they introduced Modpips, that led some put even more gravity to the situation in my mind. I was like, oh, damn, there's the big boss. And I think it was great. Not, you know, didn't make excuses. Let people know we're, you know, this is our number one priority and it's our only priority right now. We're going to get people back in. And, you know, even though it was, you know, a small number, that makes, you know, cause you'd hate it to be you.
Yeah. I know we have a few in Clan Quest who were, affected by this, a couple of other people, you know, effectively with this been relegated to Old School because Old School works through all this. So that's another thing to highlight is that Old School is absolutely fine in this endeavor. But, you know, continuing on with the live stream, they brought in Mod Warden. Mod Warden actually had a few words to say as he was introducing Mod ZZ and Mod ID0. So we're going to just have a listen to what Mod Warden had to say right now. And this was a little bit surprising to me. Lots of emotion around this, which, I mean, this is what I think players have wanted for a long time. So let's have a listen.
Platform teams, all areas of support in the company right now are taking this super, super seriously, right? And that's the picture. Everyone's tired and exhausted, doing the very best they can here. One of the things, I'm just so proud about the community, on the support they're giving everyone. Sorry, guys. Try to be
it's okay.
Collected here, but the support is amazing.
Yeah, I think ID0 as well. You've been saying a lot about the way the community's kind of fueled the team, right?
Totally. So, you know, coffee and pizza only go so long, right, before you get exhausted. And just to seeing the encouragement, right, from the community, just it makes you want to kind of keep going. So I can't express enough thanks, right, to the community. It really helps, especially when it's that, you know, you're turning over midnight, right, and you're still trying to go, right? Because we are doing everything we can to get you back in. And while it is a limited number of players, it doesn't matter. We need to get everyone back in, and this is our primary focus. So, but thank you for the encouragement. This is, you guys are amazing. So thank you.
And I think that sums it up right there. You know, we always know that the RuneScape community opens their arms to everybody. We saw that with the Steam launches for both RS3 and Old School. We saw that with the 20th anniversary celebration here. You know, those two examples were supporting players, of course. And now we see it where the community at large is supporting the technical crew at Jagex itself, which is wonderful.
Yeah, I was happy, not in a like Schrogenforgen way. How you say that,
Schadenfreude.
Shane? Yeah, not in that way, but like I'm at the same time I'm not surprised because I know Mott Warden's a genuine, you know, he genuinely cares about the game. You know, we've been lucky enough to talk to him, and you can just tell that he cares. You know how it is when you've been just working your ass off, not had a lot of sleep. He cares about his people who have been working, not getting sleep. And I think that he's been around. He knows what a special thing it is to have a community rally around.
Yeah, and he's also
its team.
You know, he started off in that kind of hardware dynamic as well many years ago. So when it comes to dealing with unexpected things, he knows exactly what the technical people are going through on this.
Yeah.
And
it was good for us to see someone have the same passion we do and the same, you know what I mean? It was a vulnerability, and it really makes him so relatable.
Yeah. And, you know, whenever you have a new person come in, whether it be an executive producer, even another recent example I go to is Mott Iroh as art director. You wonder, with these people coming to a franchise that is 20 years old, are they going to get it? Are they going to be able to, you know, integrate and work with what the players expect? And, you know, the answer for Warden and Iroh and whatnot, absolutely yes.
Yeah.
And that's precisely what we need on this. And, you know, I think that aside from the few bad apples that are always going to crop up, everybody has been so supportive this week and is seeing this. And, you know, it's a really good thing, too, that this was done on a live stream this week, and all of these specific individuals, from Warden to Pips to ZZ and ID0, were all showcased that they know their stuff and they're going to get this right.
Yeah, there was no doubt.
And it was done with empathy, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you had empathy and care from the top, and competence from the people that, you know, are working on it day in, day out. And I don't really think you can ask for any more than that.
Yeah.
You know, I jokingly called the one guy Mod Bro, because he's just cool, and I totally feel bad. I'm like, yeah, this guy's got it. Like he's got this under control. You can just tell.
Yeah. So let's dive into a few more of the details on this, because I think that's also important to do with this. So when it comes to what these people are involved in, ID0 being the senior vice president of technologies in charge of everything from corporate IT to the platform that they run on, their e-commerce system, the servers, and anything in that realm. Well, ModZZ is in charge of things like analytics, data science, looks after the data of the game, helps the developer side of the game decide what to add. So if they're talking about maybe adding a new skilling mechanic, they can say this kind of thing is being interacted with too much, this one not enough, or maybe even when it comes to game balancing, and his big thing is that he is in charge of telemetry and effectively every bit of data that the game generates. Which, when you think about it, how many people play, that is a huge responsibility. Now, from the high level, they say the current save game system has been around for a decade. There's been, in fact, a series of unfortunate events that lined up just right that introduced a serious bug that prevented the live and backup system from functioning properly. And this started back on February 8th and worked its way up to March 4th.
Yep. I've thought of so many examples of this in just real life where it's like it's one bad thing and then another bad thing and another bad thing in your life.
Right, and then it all cascades. Just, you know, these are the kind of things that you really can't predict unless you, you know, have amazing foresight. And, you know, even with that and just the way technology works, it's impossible to imagine every failing that could happen. So for those out there who are saying, they should have had a better backup system or maybe a better game save system, I'll just say that for people who feel that way, you're not allowed to really say what might be going on. And we're not going to do that because we have no idea how the game save system and even the entire back end of this game works. So we're not going to talk too much about that. And I just wanted to put that out there for people who think that they might have a solution to this when in reality they don't. But they're going to be using the telemetry we talked about, which they say this triggers on basically everything. Whenever the game sends a little bit of data, you completed a quest, bought an item, or got a drop, and then they'll use this to rebuild the people's game saves. The emphasis is going to be quality first, because an error could cause a problem with game accounts. And let's just be clear there with that. You don't want to be messing around with player accounts, so it's very important that this be done right and be done once, because in many cases when you're working with these kind of systems, you really can't go back, because it, in effect, is a machine in its own role, and if you change one variable, that in effect changes the identity of the entire machine, and it's in its own unique state, and tracking and keeping those states as their own would require a huge amount of data. So as a result, you really want to only do this once and make sure that you get it right. Now, they are also working to proactively identify players' accounts who may have a problem and notify them, and they've been doing this through the in-game inbox and email as well. And people have gotten emails on this, so that's really good as well. Do you know anyone who's had similar issues with this?
I don't.
Okay. And there's also a form where you can open a support ticket if you're unable to log in on this as well. It's let me just make sure we got the actual correct link on there, because I think at this point they've identified everybody, but they said that they want people to reach out if they have a problem, and they haven't been reached out to yet. And I think we need to underscore that if anything seems wrong with your account based on this kind of thing, you should definitely reach out through the customer support system. So and that was another huge thing that we took from the live stream that I really wanted to make sure that we could get in there with that, because, you know, it's something that, you know, hey, your account's not working, you're going to be able to figure out where to go, and, you know, sometimes you might not. So we do have a link to that in the show notes. Let's see. After that, they're going to gather the data from the servers, format it correctly for the game engine, and then once they gather that data, there will be a quality assurance process in order to check over all that data and make sure that it works. And this will be as of the live stream, was a largely work in progress. effort on what the telemetry may or may not capture. They might miss a couple of fringe cases, but there will be a support process to fix any remaining issues, which I think is important as well, that we get out there.
Yeah. But they're, I mean, I think they're being so careful with the initial once through. It's just redundancies to make sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, right. You should have telemetry for most of it, but, you know, that's not going to be an exact science in itself, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that it's even a thing, but it may not be perfect, you know.
But they're going to fix that if it will, or if it winds up that way. And that was Mod Warden's second commitment, is that we will make this right. That's my team's commitment and the company's commitment. And, you know, it once again, it's very important to get out there with these messages right off the bat, because there are always going to be people who are going to take this and run with it and turn it into something that it's not. Another reassurance that there will be no accounts lost, and that all progression will be brought back, and that everybody else can make a big sigh of relief, is that if you're playing correctly today, you're fine. You have no problems on your account. You can just carry on as normal.
Carry on.
And they're uncertain if the restoration process will happen in waves or all at once. There's no set date for completion. And every aspect of not being able to play will be focused on, including things like Vic the Traitor, Yak Track, and doing right for the players, of course. And the most important thing for this is that the process moves forward in a way that's accurate, right, and as a result of this, there will be no estimation of time required for it. And then the reiteration again, if your account doesn't appear as it is, it will be fixed and made right, even if you can access it. And any account made after this event should be fine as well. And if that's not the case, reach out, because they weren't anticipating that. So that's where we're at. And, you know, we had a discussion last week if we should have talked about this on the show. And I'm really glad that we waited for this week.
Well, it would have really been speculation, which I don't typically mind a lot, but it's not for a creative purpose, right? This would just be speculation.
That people were unable to log in.
Yeah, and people's feathers would just be getting ruffled for no reason, because we didn't know what was going on. So, I'm glad we waited too. But I'm glad Jack came out and just told us what was going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good thing.
And, you know, I like to think most companies would be transparent like this. But I bet there were some that would not be.
Yeah. I don't know.
Also, you know, huge props out to the community management team this week for speaking clearly and regularly on this, from, you know, the daily news post, even the messages that have been posted consistently inside of the RuneScape News Discord, as well on the official Discord server. So I think it's been done pretty good on that. And, you know, we are recording this on Thursday evening. If there's any updates on Friday before we publish this, we'll slipstream something in, whether it's me doing an insert or just a quick, you know, 2-minute commentary with Tanis and myself that we talk about. There will be a time that you'll hear that it was inserted, and I know exactly where that's going to sit. And if you guys don't hear anything that sounds out of order, well, then we didn't do that. And we have lots of practice doing that now, don't we, after last week?
It's happened a few times.
So, but, you know, it wouldn't be an RSVNB update episode if we didn't have something new to talk about. And we actually do have something new to talk about.
Does it involve new players?
It involves new accounts, yes. And there's a new tutorial floating around. It's being tested on the mobile client. It's called the Davendale tutorial. So, you know, this is something that most players are probably wondering, oh, what about Tutorial Island? Why do we need something different than that? Well, we'll sum up the tutorial, how it goes, and then we'll see if we can kind of connect the dots on where that goes. So this tutorial starts with a black and white cutscene, and you know, I'm going to play that because it's actually got audio on it as well. So I'll just play that right now.
Call themselves Type Plenty, adventurers they call themselves, hoping to be the next Robert the Strong, always with eyes glazed, dreaming of what mainland Gillinor be like. Vast lands, umpteen quests, a world fraught with danger. Most I see heading back the very next day, tails between their legs. So, out of the goodness of my heart, I've taken to dropping them someplace else. Somewhere to rediscover their courage without becoming dragon poop. Trust me, it's less messy this way.
And then starting off with that, you wind up on the pier at Davendale. And this is a mobile-first tutorial. It, of course, starts with teaching you how to use the mobile camera and the mobile interface to move around the game world and whatnot. And, you know, the first thing I think that you noticed and that I definitely noticed with this is that this tutorial, compared to Tutorial Island, showcases the picturesque environments that the RuneScape engine can deliver.
Oh, when I saw this, I thought, holy cow, it looks like RuneScape is made for mobile. It looks like a perfect fit. It's like someone sat down and went to design a mobile game.
Yeah.
But here we are with a game that's 20 years old. But this is a good tutorial, and you can tell that so much time has been put into the early game experience. Just having that intro, it's a perfect kind of mobile thing. You got the simple drawings, and you got the voice acting. It's automatically immersing you into game, getting you excited. I am very impressed with this new tutorial.
Yeah. And, you know, just the graphics around it as well. I mean, it looks like RuneScape, but it's that next level taken up. And with this, I'd be really, really interested to see what a modern rendition of our big cities in the free-to-play world would look like. Just the way that, you know, there's all the detail on the houses and whatnot. So that was really neat as well. And the tutorial, you, of course, get taken to Mayor Drustaven's house, but that little visit to his house is interrupted by some goblins. Or, sorry, trolls, sorry. And with that, you're either able to run away, but, you know, as the adventure, you don't run away. Your choice is to either fight the trolls or fish and cook food for the people of the town. So once again, here you're presented with a choice. You can either go the combat route, or if you're wanting to do the skilling thing, you can just 100% focus on skilling as well, directly at the start of the tutorial here. But there's one more thing with this. You can do as much as you want here. You only leave when you want to leave. So if you wanted to fish up to
That's
level
really
5
cool.
here, or cook up to level 5, you could do that. And it gives you a basic tool about how to fish. You pick up a fishing rod from the local NPC, and then it tells you that you just go to one of the spots with bubbles on them. And there's actually a number of fishing spots here. Some are higher leveled than others, so you can actually continue on with this beyond level 1 too. So that's pretty neat with this. And you know, this tutorial itself is just like the archaeology tutorial was, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Reminiscent of that tutorial,
in that you're playing the game, but at the same time, you're doing a tutorial, but it doesn't feel like you're doing a tutorial.
But that's how most modern ones are.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's part of the game, but it's the early, early game.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'll be like a, oh gosh, what's the foreword of like a book, almost.
Prologue.
You know, it'll be prologue. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you cook the fish, and then after that, the town successfully fights the trolls away. You can do a bit of both if you want, or you can just do one or the other. And, you know, that's a really important distinction to make as well. And, you know, I was thinking with this is that, okay, so I'm going to cook these minnows, and then I'm going to deliver them to the mayor. And the mayor says, we did it. And I thought, okay. So that's a brief tutorial. I've only been in here about 7 minutes or so. I'm gonna, you know, just get whisked off to the islands or to the mainland at this point of Gielinor. But you chase the trolls away, and then following from that, you're given a little bit actually more onboarding after you've been playing the game. I thought I was done when I saw the quest complete dialogue pop up, but you know, you're actually given a little bit more where you're taught about the skills interface, you're taught about the lodestones as well, and you know, you're given enough to just introduce yourself to the map itself and to the user interface, but then you're just after that sent off to Berthorpe.
Rather than Lumbridge,
yeah,
too. That's an interesting choice.
Yeah. So I mean, what do you think? Wholesale on this.
On the wholesale, I mean, I think it's leaps and bounds forward from where we were. I think it's a really good mobile tutorial, but. I wouldn't mind this being like the tutorial. In fact, I thought that's kind of what they were alluding to by saying I'm dropping you off on an island before you get to the mainland. I'm like, oh, tutorial island, okay. So I don't know. I think there is a way to bridge that gap if you ever needed to.
Yeah. You're also taught about the worn equipment and tool belt too, which is important.
It's really nicely done. I mean, other than the fact of I don't know why you were dumped out in Berthorpe over Lumbridge.
Because the next step was for you to talk about the or tell the Slayer Master there, Turiel, about the troll invasion.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well. There you go. That makes sense, though.
And the troll invasion minigame.
Okay. And so that's introducing you to... That's awful early to introduce you to troll invasion, though, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you don't have to play it then. You're just, you know, you're just told to tell the Slayer Master about your experiences there. And when you get to Berthorpe, you actually have a nice little cutscene that pans around the entire area and then shows you coming in off the lodestone. And when you talk to the Slayer Master, you can, of course, inform him about the troll issue, or you can just learn about combat right off the bat. Now, with this, I was actually surprised. You get a 7-day free trial of membership with this now.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Yep. Which, I mean, I don't think they've ever done that before. So.
No, but it's smart.
Right, and then after this, you just, you know, you go explore Berthorpe as you was, you know, start with combat and Slayer if you want to do that. You can also just move through any of the other various tutorials that exist at that point. So what they've done is the tutorial on Davendale is just all about learning effectively how to use the interface and a bit about, you know, how to interact with the world. but most of the actual learning about all the different skills and whatnot will be done through exploration in Berthorpe.
Okay, I got it. So they married those two.
Yeah.
Early on, okay.
Because as it was previously, Tutorial Island covered the basics of combat and skilling through direct actions on Tutorial Island, yeah. But it kind of overlapped with some of the stuff you would have learned when you got to Berthorpe.
Right. Yeah.
So.
You can tell. I mean, I think you can tell that they have really focused on this, and the reason I like it so much is this is the kind of stuff that will... If someone's never seen RuneScape before, never played it, these are the things that we needed for them to stick around.
Yeah.
Rather than being overwhelmed and being like, yeah, forget it.
Right.
Go play and something else.
From first load of the cutscene all the way through the end of the tutorial, creating the character, setting my appearance, and choosing a name... And then appearing in Berthorpe, 12 minutes.
Yeah. That's
what you want for a mobile game.
Yeah. No, that's what I was saying. Like, looking at Dave and Dell, if you didn't know the history of RuneScape, you could almost be forgiven for thinking it's a new mobile game that was released.
Yeah.
I mean, and think about that. That's a hell of a statement, but I think it's true.
Yeah, and the important part about this isn't going to be whether or not people like us like it. It's going to be about the retention rates on the mobile client of people who have Tutorial Island versus people who have Dave and Dale. And that's what's going to determine this. And, you know, I hope... that the right metrics come forward on this because, you know, at the same time, both the iOS and Android mobile clients are in closed beta right now. So there's a very high chance, especially on the iOS side, 100% chance that most of the people who have that beta know exactly what they're getting into. Versus Android is closed, so you can have a little bit more telemetry on that you can pull forward. So, I don't know. I was quite pleased, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. But before we do that, I think I'll thank some Patreon supporters because, you know, just like Jagex, we value our community here so much, and everything that you guys enable us to do, it's just so important, and you guys do so much for us, and we just love paying it back in any way that we can, whether it be through, you know, issuing thanks like this or our monthly bits. But this week I'd like to thank Andrew C, Brock H, Cameron, Christian S, Cook Me Plonks, Diana, Duramax, Gabrielle, Jade Gizmo, Jason S, Keski, Kyle, Lucky Ducky, Nora, Parnassius, Rastafa, Ricky A, Soupfinder, Stabiv, The Naked Captain, The Lion, Tom V, and Zant. Thank you all of you for your support. It truly does mean the world to us, and, you know, we, of course, take it for granted that we can play, and, you know, for those of you guys who can't, we hope that you'll be back online soon. But for everybody else, of course, we do have our Patreon offerings at patreon.com/rsbnb. For as little as $1 a month, you gain a special mention in our show notes, early access to them, and, of course, you help fund the cost for hosting and production of RSBNB Update. You also get access to the entire catalog of monthly bits, including our most recent one on skilling bosses, which... I quite enjoyed. I didn't know how that was going to turn out, but I'm glad we did it the way we did. And I'll be interested to see what you guys have to say on that. So please do let us know. For $3 a month, you can get a special VIP rank in the Discord server mentioned on the podcast at the start of the month and access to high quality stereo versions of the show. For $5 a month, you'll receive a shout out on the podcast each and every week and exclusive access to the outtakes we use to make the clip show at the end of the year. And, of course, as well with this. We have our monthly round table, and we are, of course, aiming at some point in the far future to do something called the Hot Ones Challenge with you and me, where we're going to ruin our taste buds forever.
Forever and ever.
Well, we'll see about that. I don't know. It can't be that bad, right?
I don't know. Do they grow back?
That's a good question. Perhaps we should Google that before we dive too far in. But yeah, should we ever reach that mystical $500 a month tier, we will be doing that for you guys. That'll be a special video edition of the podcast. If you guys want to learn more about that, just visit patreon.com/rsmb. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Question from Questscaping. What do you think should be the essential components of a RuneScape tutorial? And this is interesting because you can approach this from so many ways. So many ways with this. Because you can talk about what's going to teach people about skills. You can talk about what's going to onboard them to the user interface the best. Or maybe what the heck is going to happen with their first few minutes in game. But if you don't have a good user interface for that, there's really not much you can do about that. So I think I'm going to say that my first essential is that it needs to explain the user interface of the game in a way that's quick and effective.
Yeah, that's where I would start.
And a good example of this, in previous incarnations, you were asked if you'd played RuneScape before, and if you did, a long time ago, it would actually set you up with the legacy UI if you were making a new account. So that's an important distinction that needs to be made. But aside from the actual user interface of where to find things, which I think Dave and Dale did pretty well, another thing that it did pretty well, and I think is an essential plank of any tutorial, is that it teaches you how to interact with the game world. And, you know, of course, in RuneScape, we see things as two forms of interaction. You have skilling, and you have quests, and you have combat. And all of those kind of mesh together to form your experience. But the two big ones are, of course, skilling and combat. And with that, the tutorial explains both of those as well. They explain a primary skill, and they also explain combat if you want.
Well, yeah, and the tutorial itself kind of is teaching you questing and adventure.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
So, once again, everything that the Dave and Dale tutorial did is it had you playing the game, but you were learning how to quest, you were learning how to skill, you were learning how to do combat, all while playing the game, which is an impressive feat, to be fair.
Because it got you right in, and it got you learning how to operate the game. You weren't wondering what things were because it was naturally taking you through them.
Yeah.
I mean, they've really come a long way. I can't think of anything else that I want in it. I mean, I like the dotted lines that we have in game.
Yeah, I think at some point in the past said they were looking to improve those to be more solid and have them be more present. I don't know where that would be at, but
yeah, I mean, that's something that I would like. If we had accessibility options, I would want that to be the very first thing.
Yeah.
But we don't exactly have those. So I think what we have in David Dell is kind of the ideal for onboarding RS, I mean, to this point.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing that's hugely important for me is that it keeps my attention and doesn't feel like it's taking forever or is incredibly drawn out. And the reason for that is that, you know, there's plenty of games out there. I'm trying to remember what it was. It might have been Deep Rock Galactic, or it might have been Destiny, I think, when I tried Destiny. The tutorials for those were effectively 25 to 30 minute quests before you could do anything and meet up with anybody in the game. And, you know, at that point, I kind of just wanted to shut it off because I don't want to be doing a tutorial for 25 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's so it needs to be short, captive, and hold my attention, I feel. And
well, yeah, you want to jump in the game as quickly as possible.
Yeah, you know, I'd be interested to see what the average, you know, if you just looked at some of the big games out there, mobile games, what's the average gameplay session length? Because I think that might also inform the way they did this tutorial.
I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
And, you know, I can't really think of anything else. I think to sum it up, the biggest thing has to be that it explains the user interface, it explains the core game loop, it holds my attention, and it makes me feel like I'm actually playing the game and, you know, isn't too drawn out. And this one does all of that. And, you know, Tutorial Island, I think, ultimately came back because people were saying I had such an affinity for it. But at the same time, it's something that players are only going to complete once. So as much as I hate to say it, the existing player base really doesn't have much say in what the opening game tutorial is.
No, I just want it to be the best that it can be to keep people yeah. around with, you know, which
and
keeps
in some way,
the game healthy.
And in some way, this is also Tutorial Island because it's also an island.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I'm yeah. like, oh, well, we could totally just kind of, you know, change some things around here, around the edges, and totally still be a tutorial island. It's going to be the other part of the island or something. I mean, I don't
yeah,
know.
Who knows?
But there's plenty of room
yeah.
to write.
Yeah. Thank you, Questscaping. Next one from Keski. First of all, thank you for the podcast and all the work that goes into it. It is appreciated. My question is, if you're given the power to elevate one and only one non-god NPC to god status, who would it be? My answer is Zanuck. We need more Zanucks in our worlds. Keski. All right, you go first.
Well, thank you, Keski. We appreciate that. I get what you're saying with Zanuck. But I think if someone deserves godhood, it should be us. Even though we're not an NPC. I mean, could we be an NPC? We are the World Guardian. I mean, okay. Well, if not us, then it has to be. It has to be Thok. Because I think that's I just like the idea of an all-powerful Thok, and it's going to play into something that's coming up, but yeah, doesn't he? I mean, he seems like an Old Testament style like god. Like he would just, oh, I'm mad, Thok, hit him with a stick, you know, or like, oh, I'm gonna shower blessings on thee, you know, like I don't know, like and I just feel like that would be more like how it probably.
All right.
Yeah.
For me, it'd be Charos.
Which is hilarious that we're picking the buddy.
Yeah, the buddy's from cop. Desperate Times, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or was that Desperate Measures? I think Desperate Measures. Yeah, Desperate Measures. My reasoning is that we already know he's a shapeshifter. He's been around for a long, long time. Spoilers coming up for the next 20 seconds if you want to mute your ears. He's actually Raldo. And I just think that what we learned from You Are It and how all of that kind of factored in together, especially with his ring, there might be some kind of residual power there as well. I think you might have the beginnings of something really interesting, especially how his ring impacted all of the previous quests as well. So I think if he was to achieve godhood powers, I think you would have an interesting dynamic that we probably don't have from any of the other gods in game. And for yours, Thok, it seems like he'd be a natural extension to kind of fill the gap of what Bandos was.
I mean, kind of, yeah.
Kind of, right?
I mean,
if it doesn't work, hit it with a big stick.
Yeah, I mean, I think he represents Bandos actually better than Zanuck does, but, you know, it's neither here nor there.
Yeah. And
yeah, no, I mean, agree.
I was going to go with one of the signature heroes, but I thought that might be a cop-out.
I thought about that, but who is deserving? And right? I can't think of a damn one of them.
I mean, the way things are going, it could end up being Arianne after all this is said and done.
I mean, maybe, but
I don't think they'd do that.
And witches never become like gods. Like, that. I don't know.
She's not a witch.
Well, you know.
She's a mage. Big difference. Big difference, I think.
What, the broom?
Yeah. Well. And for good or for evil, right? Well, maybe not evil, just, you know, kind of corrupted if someone's a witch, but and, you know, I also think that everything we've seen with all the, you know, talk of the Great Revision and whatnot happening and everything that the Elder Gods know, who better than Charos or Reldo to wield that kind of power, right?
I mean, it's a good point, and if it doesn't work, hit him with the stick.
Yeah, and another good replacement where Thok could fill in the gap would be for the Fremenic, for V.
Absolutely. Well, see, and this, but that's where I'm going, man. You don't even. We have a whole nother question where I'm gonna tie it all together. All
right, let's move on. Like then.
The dude in this rug, you know, ties the room together.
Okay, next one's from Gabrielle. If the Gilanar map was to expand once again, what would your ideal addition be in terms of content and or terrain?
Well, I think that Thok could lead his people to a new landmass island home for the Fremenic to branch out, because they're Viking explorers and they branch out everywhere, and this could be like a Newfoundland or something like that.
I see what you've done there.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And I would just have all kinds of fun, you know, shenanigans with Thok and being a god and yeah, leading his people to this new land and this new undiscovered wilderness. Undiscovered. There might be people living on it,
yeah,
but
of
I mean,
course.
Thok, it would be undiscovered. Thok would, of course, call it undiscovered.
And of course, you're probably thinking, where does this go? Where would you put it?
I would put it on the west side of the Elven lands, because as far as I can tell, there's an ocean there, right?
Yeah. Except on old school, you have the Kevos lowlands.
But this is RS3, so I'm not.
Well, I mean, I guess if you look at the map, the way it's kind of set up, it's not immediately directly west of Prif. There's space out there for that. So, I mean, I guess there could be room for something to that effect, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem is, like I like that, because all of the other things that I could think of, you didn't require a landmass in any way. It just required a world gate. And we have one of those, luckily for us.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm going to go for something that's a little bit different than normal. It's not necessarily a new landmass. I would like to see, through some means, maybe divine intervention, the wilderness restored to its former glory.
Oh.
4 and 3.
That would be cool.
Now,
that would be really
cool. The rumor is that expansion number 2 after Menaphos was going to be Invention Batch 2 plus 4 and 3.
Man. See, that's why we can't have nice things. Darn it. No, but that, maybe all is not lost. I mean, we probably could go back. They probably could do something with 4 and 3. During this whole thing, right? Because that's Zaro City.
Yeah.
That's like the high... I mean... I'd like to see it.
Right. And I mean, the only downside is that how would you make it work so that all the current existing features like PvP, for those who want to do it, though you could probably kill that at this point, the Wilderness Divination training method, the quests that take place there, the King Black Dragon, the Mage Training Arena, the Wilderness Agility Course, how do you preserve all of those things while still allowing 4 and 3 to be a thing? Because, you know, they occupy the same place, and 4 and 3 was, I believe, Second Age, if I'm remembering correctly, of when that happened. So I don't know how exactly you would square that, but I think that'd be a really neat thing to explore. Maybe if we ever get the needle back. Though Karapak is bound to it.
Yeah, well, maybe you do that just like we have New Varrok. Seems, you know, I mean.
Oh, yeah, through some kind of portal or something?
Something.
Yeah, that might be a way of doing it.
And, I mean, PvP, I wouldn't necessarily want it, but we could have it. I mean, call it urban warfare, whatever. You know? People set up ambushes and houses. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Though, if I was actually going to introduce a new landmass, I'd probably use it again to introduce PvP. And I'd make it off to an island somewhere again, you know, make it be continent sized, except it would be the PvP continent. And it would, you know, and it's a shame that they didn't do this with Darkscape and Dimension of the Damned when that happened. And you know where I'm going with this? What if that was our version of PvP, a combination of Darkscape and a Battle Royale fog theme thing where you could have, you know, like a safe area in the middle of this continent where you could prepare and maybe do some skilling, say have that be the size of a city like Varrok or Falador. But outside of that, you walk out through one of the doors, you randomly get teleported somewhere, and then you have a countdown, and it's an all-out survival fest that, you know, happens every 20 minutes, 3 times on the hour, and the entire island is instance. So it doesn't matter what world you're on. It doesn't matter what world you're on. You just go to this island, you get popped over to an instance shard world where you're going to be able to play with everybody who wants to do PvP and interact in that way. And I think that would be the next biggest thing that they could pull off. And have it being done in a way like archaeology was, where it's not even pulled, but they're going to make a PvP system where PvMers can be successful. Because you need some constituents that you're going to bring over and have buy-in with that. So those would be my two. Oh,
and that would be I mean, don't forget, like, Darkscape happened from – it was like 2 JMODs.
Yeah, it was a lunchtime experiment.
Yeah. So, I mean, it wouldn't probably take a huge team. Man, that would be awesome. And I think maybe the only way to bring PvP back in. I don't think the old stuff will
work. No, the old wilderness system won't work.
No, it's...
The other way, and I don't want to go down this track right now because this is a topic that we're going to do for a monthly bit one day. It's going to be, how do you bring PvP back with Castle Wars? That's the other option.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's just a means to gamble, essentially.
Yeah.
We could do better. I love the idea of a Darkscape Island.
Yeah.
With a battle royale feature. I'm like, damn, we missed a boat on that.
Yeah.
that would have been so cool.
Yeah. So. And, you know, Jagex is developing other games, and, you know, maybe one of them will be a MOBA-style ARPG. Who knows? Imagine if that could tie in to this kind of battle royale style system on RS3. That would be really neat. So,
yeah, it would.
That's where I'd go on that. Alrighty, the next one is from the RR Man. I'm going to butcher this. I used to be able to say this word. I forget exactly how it goes, but Kia Ora, I believe Kia Ora is the New Zealand way of saying hello. And he says, I'm just wondering if you guys have made a Broach of the Gods yet. I was with you guys at the start that it sounded lackluster, but since I happen to have all of the components to build it on release, I thought, why not? Not to mention I'm a skiller first, so I better build one for the team. Go team. Turns out I love it. I never forget an urn anymore, and for any skill, and to not mention the blessings that spawn, they do sure give a lot of components over time. I would say it's a must-have if you can make one, and it's perfect to use while on Yak Track. Secondly, with these new rings coming in, do you think it's time for a second ring slot? Restrictions, of course. You couldn't wear two of the same. Peace out, RR Man and Zed. Nice. I haven't made a Broach of the Gods yet.
I haven't because, like, so I think what he's saying is fair. And if I had the components like he did, then yeah, I mean, that totally, you can do it. Where the rub came for me was paying, gosh, what was it? Almost 200 mil, it's
like
180, something like that. And that was more than I was willing to spend, but yeah, I bet it is great.
Current price is $150, according to the GE.
Yes, yes, it's a lot.
Yeah,
and I mean it's worth more than my armor
that
I normally would wear.
Right. And to recap, its effects: portable skilling, portable skilling. Station effects are twice as likely to trigger. Certain actions while training skills have experience increased by 20% or to receive an increase in effectiveness. And a divine blessing can occur when training non-combat skills, including Slayer. And this can give invention components as well. And that's, of course, what he was talking about.
Did you just say XP bonus?
Yeah.
I take it back. Then I guess it's worth every penny. Never mind.
Yeah, but I don't
exactly. Didn't realize there was an XP boost.
I don't exactly remember what it was that increases or is increased by that.
I don't either. I'm guessing it wasn't. It must have been lackluster.
Yeah, it was the artisan. Yeah, we can't remember it, so that's the case. It was Artisan's Workshop Pipes, give 20% extra XP. Ceremonial Swords, 20% extra XP. Deep Sea Fishing Hub, Distractions, 20% XP. Chronicle Fragments, 20% extra XP. Bird's Nest and Divine Eggs while woodcutting have a 20% extra chance. Fire Spirits have a 20% extra reward output. And Rockertunities have a +1 multiplier. And Sprite Focus, +1 multiplier at 100% for... max of times 6.
So yeah, definitely one of those things that if you can make it and it's not going to actually cost you money, then it's probably great. I just don't know if I would pay that, but you know, I don't like to pay that much for anything.
Right. So. And to like to make the alchemical Hydrix, you need 50 fortunate components, 50 refined components, 10 precious and 2 rumbling components, plus the Hydrix gem itself. Mm-hmm. Which is expensive. rumbling components come from Tectonic Armor, Tempest Armor, Primevals, and Drygors as well. As well as the Inquisitor's Staff and Inquisitor's Staff Rod and all those pieces. As well as the Spear of Annihilation, to name a few things. Oh, that's what I could have done with my second spear.
Yeah.
I could have disassembled it for rumbling components.
Yeah, break it down.
I don't know that I want to do that, though.
I wouldn't, but I mean...
No. No, I don't. I'm not going to do that. We know precious components are relatively simple to get from gems and jewelry. Refined components. What do those come from? Oh, gizmos and relics.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And then fortunate components, we know those are your treasure trail items. So, and, you know, I've actually talked to Alex on this, and he actually made one of these Brooch of the Gods himself after it came out as well, and he had all the stuff that was there for it, too. So, I mean, there are skillers out there who do make this on their own accord.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and it definitely sounds like if you, like I said, if you have the stuff, then I would do it. I would do it in a second.
Yeah, and I'd be interested to see how long it takes for you to make your money back.
Boy, I don't think I would even have that in my mind, because I think it would be a while.
Yeah. Right? I mean, also, the Spear of Annihilation only gives one rumbling component.
Ouch.
You'd need to augment it to get 4 rumbling components, which isn't that bad. I mean,
yeah, that's not. I mean,
a Drygor longsword will give you 5 for a quarter of the price. So
yeah,
it just go do that or go do KK at that point. So Kalphite King. I feel like I should get one of these now.
You got the money.
I do have the money.
Just dig. You don't even got to dig deep. Just grab the top layer. Just reach. Just grab the fuzz out your pocket.
But yeah, it's good to know that you're finding some use from it. I'd be interested to know how many components you've got on that. Second ring slot, I think we open ourselves up to more power creep if we did that, and I think there's perhaps more imaginative ways to do that by adding more choice, I think, such as maybe the way that they did it with the luck rings, I think. Those were good. But I also see this as an issue, is that if you add 2 ring slots, why not 10? Because you can wear a ring on every finger then, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Which I don't think you'd want to do that. So, thank you, RRMN. And from Sunset Fish, with all the server issues and locked accounts with delays, do you think the game could benefit from having updates less often?
Well, that all depends on what you consider an update, right?
Right. Because, you know, there are some people who only consider the headline updates a true update and not the Ninja Strikes. Hence, with that, we're getting, you know, 1 update a month. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, some people could say every time there's patch notes, that's an update.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think it's an issue, honestly. I think that what we have seen with this was effectively a freak event that's a once in a 20-year event or more, hopefully, with that. So I don't think that putting any issue or putting any more emphasis on stringing out the updates a little more would have an effect on this. I think that it was a wise decision this week to postpone this week's game update, because anytime you're talking about adding new wrinkles into the masses with a new update and potentially modifying the state of the game that you're going to be saving to, I don't think you want to be doing that. So I think it was a good idea to proactively delay this week's update. But I don't think that we need to worry about this, and I think the current pace of updates is actually fine. And, you know, I've mentioned this before. I don't know if I've mentioned this publicly, but I feel like this year, 2021, has been one of the busiest we've ever had for the podcast so far, first 2 months or so. Oh,
without a doubt, especially when it comes to just the story and the world of RuneScape. It's almost like it's been growing in multiple directions, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, you could also point to archaeology last year, but that's an entirely different beast with that. And, you know, that was, I think, an example of what the team would be capable of with everybody, you know, working all hands on deck, everybody working in the office, dedicating an entire team to that. Hopefully we get to that at some point again in the future. But at the end of the day, I think we have a pretty good pacing as it is right now. And as to server issues, I think that we were having before that and were being dealt with prior to the big glitch that we had last week and that we talked about at the start of the show. I think that that's something that's definitely going to continue to be dealt with. And, you know, it's an entirely different team that handles those kind of things compared to the teams that handle the building of content when it comes to, you know, your quests and your ninja updates and your skill updates and whatnot. So I think we're fine, honestly.
Yeah, so. I tend to agree. I don't think we need to really slow down. I think we're in a okay spot.
Yeah. And the last one from the Naked Captain, a bit of a lighthearted question. Why does my RNG in game suck? But I managed to be one of the lucky few to be locked out of my account. LOL.
Oh, poor dude.
Oh, we appreciate the fact that you're listening to the podcast and you have such a lighthearted question for us with that. And I mean, it could have been any of us, really.
Yeah. My advice would be go do an hour of bossing as soon as you come back. Maybe we'll get something out of it.
Maybe your
RNG has changed forever now.
And yeah, I mean 1%, and I mean you extrapolate 1% of, say, that there's 40,000 people online, that's really not that many people that you know would be affected by this, and it's like 400 people in total, and you extract that out to the community base, that's what, 1,000 to 1,500 probably?
Yeah.
And when you consider it, yeah, maybe you should go buy a lottery ticket or something to that effect, given that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Alrighty, thank you everybody for the questions. If you guys want to send your own in, email us questions at rsbnb.com, send them in on Twitter at rsbnb, or leave them at update.rsbnb.com/ask. And we're going old school this week. We're doing old school tech news, just because, you know, why not? And a couple of interesting things I wanted to talk about. First one, there was a fire at a French data center, a cloud services company, that disrupted multiple or millions of websites, government agencies, portals, banks, shops, news websites, as well as a good chunk of the .fr web space. The fire happened on Wednesday at shortly after midnight at a company called OVH Cloud and destroyed one of their four data centers in Strasbourg, France, and damaged another. There was no immediate explanation of what caused the fire. And it's interesting because this happened 2 days after the French company kicked off plans for an initial public offering to go public on the stock market. Europe's largest cloud services provider told clients, including the French government, the Centre Pompidou, and the cryptocurrency exchange Deribit, to activate their disaster recovery plans following the blaze. Firefighters could not control the fire, and the plan for the next couple of weeks would involve rebuilding the center's equipment and checking fiber optic connections. 100 firemen battled the blaze, which sent thick smoke into the night sky. These guys were founded in 1999, and they compete against the big cloud services companies like Microsoft Azure, Google Cloud, Amazon Web Services. So this is a pretty big deal, and you know this is actually affecting a number of other clients as well, because you know normally we talk about these things as being quick outages, but 25 servers for the Rust video game were destroyed at this data center. The data lost is unable to be restored. FacePunch Studios says a large amount of their saved data has been destroyed, and with this, they're calling it a total loss of the affected EU servers.
See, guys, it can always be worse.
Yeah. It really could have been worse, and you know we don't want to you know do a dance around FacePunch or the Rust community on this, but I just point this out to the people who are affected by this, and you know we just got to be so thankful that none of the JAGEX data was on servers like this, because that would have been a double whammy.
Yeah. I'm sure there are some fine people that play Rust, and I feel bad for them.
Very fine people, would you say?
Yes, very, very fine people.
And, you know, for these people who were affected by this, all game progress will be reset. Who were on the server. And apparently Rust had seen their player count rise in the recent week thanks to increased intention from major streamers. Yeah, so it's not going too well there. But, you know, I put this out there because there's always these kind of things that can't be recovered from when it comes to talking about servers and technology and data. And, you know, everybody who plays RS should just be so fortunate that our accounts and data that are affected are going to be able to be recovered. And thankfully, it's not nearly as bad as this. But, of course, we do feel for everybody who was affected by the Rust outage and, of course, the people who are affected by the 1% or so of RuneScape accounts that were locked up. So, pretty big this week, pretty big. And I thought, yeah, you know, this is kind of theme we're on, so let's do this for tech news. But
it's a big one.
Big one indeed. Our next one is another huge story that should this pan out and should it get FDA approval, it's thought that the next Apple Watch, the Apple Watch Series 7, could feature blood glucose monitoring through a non-invasive optical sensor. And of course, for those unaware, managing glucose levels is important for people with conditions such as diabetes. Previously, and the most accurate way to measure blood glucose requires a blood drop test on a blood sugar meter or an implanted glucose monitor that's allowed as well. And, you know, most people opt for the finger prick method because it's cheaper. And, you know, we just have to say that this would be an huge shift to the world on this sense if Apple was able to pull something like this off, if it was proven to be accurate and it got FDA approval in the US and pretty much every other country to allow this kind of monitoring to happen. It would change millions of lives, and it would elevate the Apple Watch from something of that started out as a novelty device to something that is, you know, morphing into that space of being, you know, that true wearable health monitor.
That would be, I mean, think about all the people that still have to prick their fingers.
Yep.
I mean, that's such an advancement. And it's been a holy grail for glucose monitoring for a really long time. So.
And you know what the best part about this, though, is that people always say that if you put this kind of data online, it can be used by your health insurance companies. But I think we have the you should feel comfortable with Apple, because Apple, of course, takes a privacy-first-centric model. And I think that people can feel comfortable storing this on their Apple devices, in that it won't, that the data won't be sold. If Facebook was offering something like this, you'd have to do a double take and run in the complete other direction, right?
Well, that's for sure. Yeah, I mean, Apple has proven to be good about that so far. I think it's time, right? Apple is due for a new groundbreaking kind of innovation. Yeah. And maybe this will be it. And if we don't want insurance companies finding out about, you know, every little aspect of our lives, I don't know. We could always get rid of them.
And, you know, I think just to wrap this one up, this would be Tim Cook's defining moment as Apple CEO, because largely he's been seen as just coasting on what Steve Jobs set up. And going forward, most of what he's done has just been iterating and advancing the company slowly but surely forward, moving towards a more cloud services model, you know, maybe changing the way the iPhone looks here and there. But there really haven't been any major breakthroughs with Apple since Steve Jobs has been around.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about this in pre-show. You can point to the Apple Silicon stuff, the M1, and the other ones that are going to come out. And sure, that's going to be interesting, but it's not going to be the huge breakthrough that an iPhone was, or an iPad was, or an iPod was. And, you know, Apple needs one of those. Previously, they're on pace to do that about once every 5 years or so, and it's been a while since they have. So,
well, I mean, when you think about it, going all the way back to, you know, the 80s, what Apple does is it changes the way we do things. And that's happened.
Oh, yeah. They were the first ones to mainstream the desktop graphical user interface.
And that changed the way we did things. It changed the way, look at an iPod. That changed the way we had music. Changed the way we consumed music.
Yeah.
The iPhone changed our whole perception of what a phone is or could be.
And what being connected to the internet means.
Right. So I think an innovation in the field, of health and fitness like this could, think about in the long run too. What if you could monitor your blood sugar like that so that you never developed diabetes? How much money does that save one system over time?
Yeah.
It would be a really big innovation, I think.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, we've already seen cases where the heart monitoring software and the Apple Watch and the ECG has alerted people to potential problems, and they've had time to go to a hospital and get treatment before a condition would have become severe enough to kill them. So, I mean, it's already happening. We don't hear about it too often. But this would, you know, change the lives of millions of people. So it's a huge one, and hopefully this pans out to be true. And Apple Watch can be seen as the device that did that. So. And you know, another thing I think we don't really talk about that much is that the Apple Watch Series 6, the one that came out last year in the middle of the pandemic, actually has a blood oxygen monitor in it.
And people, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, the Series 6 has that, and apparently people have detected COVID in themselves with this prior to having any symptoms.
It's not the one that's like $600, though.
Like
it's real high.
I can't tell you what it is in the U.S. I can tell you what it is here in Canada, though. So a watch Series 6 in Canada goes for... Oh, it's never a good sign when they make you scroll to the bottom of the page for the price, is it?
No.
$529.
Okay.
Canadian. So it'd be less for you guys.
Yeah, so that'd be like four something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot. It'd be more than I've ever spent on a watch, but I've been thinking about getting one.
Yeah, and I mean, I have the SE. I got the SE for Christmas. I had a Series 1 before, and the SE is an amazing upgrade over it. It's got the same processor as the Series 6, so it's as fast, but it doesn't have I think the only thing it's really missing is the blood oxygen monitoring sensor difference.
See, that would be so good. I would love to have one of those. And anybody, I would almost say, anybody that has anxiety that manifests itself as in like shorter breath or something like that, it would be wonderful to look down and be like, oh, okay, it's an anxiety attack.
Yeah.
Okay. I can deal with that. You know what I mean? Because that's, because panic attacks mask themselves with so many different, you know, symptoms.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get an Apple. I was really thinking about it before.
If you do anything as well that's active, you go for walks, you go for bike rides, you run or you do anything like that, it automatically picks it up when you're doing it and just logs it right away.
Yeah, and that's cool. Because I've been wearing one of those like watch fitness kind of band things. I didn't even think like I would be into that, but I haven't taken it off other than to charge it.
Right.
So...
Yeah, so the main difference between the SE and the Series 6, the Series 6 has an always-on display. The Series 6 has the blood oxygen monitoring and an ECG application built in. They all have high and low heart rate and irregular heart rate rhythm notifications, fall detection notification, emergency SOS, which allows you to call somebody on your contact list or call the emergency services as well. So there's really not that much difference between the Series 6 and SE aside from the blood oxygen stuff and the ECG monitoring.
Dude, that's freaking... The only thing it doesn't do is have Kit pull up to your driveway and let you get in. That's what I'm seeing. Like, I'm seeing you holding up your... Like, you know, just say...
Like, yeah,
but for and, real.
And the majority of the times I text you, I do it from my watch.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. You do need an iPhone for it. So for anybody getting interested about this, if you don't have an iPhone, take that with a grain of salt.
You're a solo.
All right, let's move on to pick of the week. Maybe the Apple Watch will be a pick of the week in your future.
Pick of the week.
Yeah. What do you got for us?
This week I am going with a little game. It's been around for a while. I've probably played it off and on for about 3 years. It's called Fishing Planet, and it's really good. It's probably the best fishing game I've ever played. Nice. It's relaxing. You can hear the birds and the bugs, and it's got nice laid back, you know, kind of guitar music. It's got lakes all around from Canada and Alaska all the way down to, the tropics down in the Amazon.
Wow.
Yeah. But just so many great fishing places. Like, I love fishing in the Everglades, and North Carolina is another good spot. Just all kinds of just awesome fishing, everything from bass to rainbow trout to huge, like, big salmon and sturgeon to just all kinds of awesome, awesome fishing, pike, walleye. Yeah, pretty much you name it, you know, carp, bluegill, all kinds of different.
How realistic is it? Like, is it a simulation level or is it more arcadey game level?
I think it's a lot more simulation, because you actually can use different, retrieval techniques. So, you know, you can do, like, with your lures, you can do, like, the stop and go, or you can do your lift and drop, and you can actually, you know, do those different techniques that you would do when you're bass fishing or you're spin rod fishing, you know what I mean? The bobber and stuff, it looks realistic, it looks pretty well. The fish seem to be fairly smart AI, but not, like, I mean, they're fish, so they're not winning any, like, spelling bees, but they, you know, it is varied, and you know, the bait matters, the time of day matters, the conditions matter, where you're fishing at matters, and it also has boats and kayaks, and you can actually see other players now, so that's cool. Yeah, it's just a nice little free to play game. That being said, if you like it, I will tell you now, you will probably spend money on it.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. How is it for DLC?
Yeah, I mean, DLC comes in the form of bait coins. So, I mean, they're telling you, right? Like. Like, it's bitcoins, like, for real.
Almost sounds like bitcoins.
Yeah, right. But and the bitcoins are like a gold, and you get the way you earn bitcoins in game is by catching unique fish. But of course you can pay for them as well, and that'll give you. It's just another kind of. I don't want to call it a higher tier because it's the same tier. In a lot of ways, it's the equipment that you can pay for by cash, but it will just be, like, a little bit better.
Right.
So, yeah, I do the DLCs for that. Also, any DLC that has an advanced license, which it's unlimited fishing, I will take that because the license work in real time.
Oh, okay.
So if you buy a 7-day license, it's going to go for a week. That's why I... Rather than spending
it's
any
kind
money
of
like
actually
that,
purchasing a, you know, a real world fishing license then.
Yeah, it is. And it also has the other thing that's really cool is it has amateur tournaments. So, like, you can actually enter fishing tournaments.
Oh, wow.
And there's a lot of them. I mean, they're at all kinds of different times and stuff, but it's a lot of fun. Like, you know, it's competitive.
Yeah.
You're competing, and but it's not so difficult that you can't, like, you know, get a good showing, and, especially on the lower, you know, lower level ones, the amateur tournaments and stuff. So, I love to do the catfishing. I just put my glasses on and watch my bobber and
nice
lay back, and it's great. But yeah, I mean, nice little free-to-play game you don't have to put money into, but if you like it, you will, for sure.
Alrighty, sounds good. You can find that on Steam, and it's, of course, linked in the show notes at update.rsvmb.com. Alright, we're going to run through some achievements, and as you can tell, the double XP break has arrived after that double XP live event, so we only have a few this week, comparatively speaking. Starting off, we have Sipe Daboo with 99 runecrafting on the 10th. Popo got 200 million defense XP on the 10th. Snowlike got 120 archaeology on the 10th, and the Lion got 120 attack, strength, and defense all on March 10th. Well done.
Nice. Well, then we move on to March 8th, and Drizzen got 120 farming. Look at that, Shane.
Nice.
Yeah, and then we have max quest points with 99 rune crafting. That was on the 8th, and Chief Snake with 200 mil farming. Look at that.
He beat me. He beat me.
Oh. Oh. Yeah. And then we had Captain Metaphor with 120 Dungeoneering on the 7th. Lady Colonel, or Lazy Colonel, with 99 Hunter on the 7th. We have F.E. Super J with 120 Invention on March 6th. Keski with 120 Herblore on the 6th. And Woody 1 with 200 mil Hunter on March 5th. Oof, and that came after the nerf.
Yeah. Well done, everyone. Well done.
Very nice.
We're going to wrap here in just a moment, but... Before we do that, just a reminder, if you want to help out with the podcast, whether it be guest hosting, some graphical work, or maybe writing for Informer, just visit our Help Wanted page at update.rsbb.com/help. We greatly appreciate anything you might want to offer to us. Just fill out the form, leave your RuneScape name, leave a way for us to contact you, and we'll be in contact with you to have a chat about what you left behind. But what have you been up to on RS?
Just yak tracking, man. I got into the last one, and you know, I kind of stopped halfway. This one, I'm just cruising and enjoying it. Really enjoying the skilling and kill. It's letting me get a lot more of my archaeology in than right. I normally do when I'm working yak tracks. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing, but. With the caveat of the skill and kills, I've been able to go back to archaeology.
So. Yeah, it's good that we have all the skill and kills on this one. It tends to work out very well on that. Yeah, for me as well, 100% yak track. I've really enjoyed it. I completed the Holy Groverload potion recipe. I'm going for a couple of other potion recipes with the skill and kill, or even just any archaeology task that comes up, and you know, believe it or not, I'm already at task 26. I think that's the fastest I've been moving through a yak track, honestly.
Wow, yeah, that's quick.
I've used one skip, and that was task 25, which was something like 1700 fletching or summoning versus 2000 marks of war, which would have been, you know, 2 hours of PVM at God Wars 1 or God Wars 2, and I didn't want to do that, so I just used a skip token on that. But really enjoying the fact that all the skill and kills are thrown in between as well. So it's just so refreshing this time, I find, for some reason. I don't know why I find that.
It makes it less grindy because you're choosing. You know, instead of, you know, you might have, before you might have gotten two or three tasks in a row where it kind of felt grindy.
Right.
If you didn't really want to do, even though you could choose, none of them were exciting because it wasn't what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, these kind of change that.
And overall, I think it's just, I'm just enjoying what's on offer with this one. So pretty good. Pretty good. Alrighty, that wraps this week's episode of RSBNB Update. Hopefully, this has been informative to you guys, and you know, I'll just say to everybody out there who's having login issues, you're going to be back. We're waiting for you to be back so you can take part in our communities, whether it be RSBNB, Clan Quest, or any other ones that you're involved in. I understand how that can be, so. We're all going to get there eventually. And in the meantime, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that. Just visit update.rsbnb.com rsvmb.com/subscribe. You can subscribe on any podcast listener out there, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, and even YouTube, youtube.com/rsvmb. And that's where we post the video version of the podcast, as well as, of course, the nibbles that go along with that. Lots of fun ones from last week's Mod Jack episode. So give us a subscribe and a like there at youtube.com/rsvmb. And with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSVMB Update. Take care, everyone.
See ya.